This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Arvind Yuvaraj and you're listening to 5 for Fortune. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about something that a lot of us struggle with during our first month in a new company or at a new job. Like, what are the rules during your first month? How much should you do and what is considered normal and what is considered a bit too much when it comes to blending into the office culture in the first 30 days of your new job? It's a tricky subject, to say the least, and each company is pretty different, but there are some ground rules that apply to, you know, to almost everyone when they join a new workplace. I was reading up on work ethics online and came across a career coach named Jen DeWall, and there's this piece that she contributed to a site called Fast Company, and I thought the points in there were pretty interesting, and I wanted to share some of them with you, you know, either for future reference or if you're in the middle of a job transition right now, and, you know, hopefully these five pointers could help you out a bit. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this episode is called 5 Mistakes to Avoid During the First Month at Your New Job. It's kind of tricky having a new job. I mean, on one end, you're excited at the prospects and all the new opportunities that could come your way. Leaving the old job wasn't easy and it was a risk, but hey, you made it here and you're in this new job and it looks like it could be fun. There's all these new people, there's all this new culture, there's just so much newness that's around you, you know, for you to explore and get comfortable with. But then on the other hand, you don't want to overstep your boundaries. Like, you know, like I said before, there is an office culture here and it might not be the same as your old place. The dynamic here is different and might be a little different from what you had before, and you got to figure out just how you can tune into that frequency and contribute in a positive and meaningful way. I wouldn't say it so much. It's not really conforming. It's more of being aware of the way that the gears work in this new place that you've come into. So what exactly can you do? I mean, if you do too little, then you come off as lazy and inexperienced. But if you do too much at a short span of time, then you might be stepping on someone's toes and infringing on their work without even realizing it. And then there are all these other tiny things that you could do that could upset the balance here. So yeah, you know, it's exciting, but it's also a little frustrating. You know what I mean? But luckily, career coach Jen DeWall is pretty clear on what should be done and what should not be done in your first month at this new job. And she highlights a bunch of mistakes that you should avoid altogether. And I pick 5 that are my personal favorites. So let's start off with the most obvious no-no, but it's a no-no that a lot of people still keep doing for whatever reason, which immediately damages their reputation among this new group of colleagues. And that is bashing your old job on social media.
Number 1.
Look, I get it. You were not happy at your old job, you needed something new, you had all this pent-up frustration inside of you, and now it feels like that bad chapter is over and you've got a fresh start to begin with. Great. Everyone who knows you is happy for you, and everyone else probably couldn't care less, which is why bashing your old job in any kind of public domain, especially social media like Facebook or Twitter, isn't cool at all. Just try to remember something. Your new colleagues don't know you very well. They hired you for your expertise and not for that one magic trick that you can do at parties, or the fact that you have a theory on how interdimensional vortexes work. I mean, my point is, they didn't hire you for who you are, but they definitely love to get to know you on a more personal level as time goes by. So with that in mind, what do you think they'll think when they see you unloading on your old boss on Facebook? It's not a pretty picture, and it paints someone as being pretty whiny. Some people think this is a way of showing loyalty, like, you know, like, hey, I hate my old company because you guys are here and this is my new place and it's so cool. It's really not, and any company that expects you to do that doesn't deserve your time anyway. Long story short, bashing your old company is like saying nasty things about your ex after you've broken up with them. It's just the type of drama that other people want to get away from and not get into. And most of all, what guarantee does your new company have that you won't do the same thing to them if things don't go well between you two? God forbid. So you see, there are a bunch of scenarios to think about here, but the biggest one is that it's just a pretty unethical thing to do. I mean, vent all you want and speak your mind all you want, but know where to draw the line between being reflective and being whiny. As Jen Duwall says, first impressions really matter, and letting your new colleagues know that you're verbally ripping into your old employer online isn't a good way to paint yourself. Now, you're probably thinking, how are these new colleagues going to know you decided to get on your soapbox and verbally massacre your ex-boss in a long essay that everyone will like but not actually read on Facebook? Well, that segues us perfectly into our next story, and that's our second mistake on today's episode. Speaking of today's episode, we're talking about five mistakes to avoid during your first 30 days on the job, and the second big mistake is adding all your new coworkers and employers on Facebook and Instagram.
Number two.
I think social media can be extremely deceiving, and the same goes for any kind of chat service, actually, because you can talk to a person via text and then see them as completely different people from what they are in real life. We're different when we're online. It's really that simple. We use words that we wouldn't use in our daily lives, and we might be louder, we might be more confident with our opinions online because of that virtual wall that hides and protects us. The personas that you see online are not necessarily the same as the people behind them in real life, which is why your social media accounts are a pretty lousy representation of yourself when you sit down and really think about it. I mean, how many of you actually laugh out loud when you type LOL? Well, you probably aren't even cracking a smile, to be honest. And this is why Jen Duwall says that it's a bad idea to immediately add all your new colleagues on Facebook without getting to be friends with them first. Always let them know who you are, as in, the real you in real life, before letting them see that you share that NSFW meme on your wall, you know what I mean? So basically, slow it down on the adding of friends and let your real self do the talking first. Get to know your colleagues and employers before adding them to your social media circles. I mean, if you really sit and think about it, what is the rush, really? Now, here's the thing, and this probably is going to be a little iffy to talk about, but that's what Jen Duwall says, but I don't know if I completely agree with that logic. To me, people just add other people on social media as a way of interacting these days, and that's the reality, right? It's an easy way to say goodbye at the end of a party or dinner, You just go, hey, I'll add you on FB, and you just go along your way, and they go along their way. And what if your new colleagues add you first? That's what I'm saying. If you don't accept their request, soon it'll look like you're detached or you're not in touch. But if you do, it'll look like you're on Facebook all the time. So it's a very tricky situation. I don't agree with the fact that you shouldn't add people immediately, because the trends have changed and people add people on Facebook the same way people just ask for phone numbers back in the day or just exchange name cards. It's become that commonplace. So I don't know if I agree with Jen Duwall with this. I mean, logically, it makes sense not to add them, but personal opinion, I don't think this is such a bad idea. I don't think it's any giant mistake. Like I said, very tricky scenario, but I thought it was an interesting enough topic to be talked about on anyway. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're always open to feedback. For me personally, it's all about communication in real life. First, establish a friendship or some basic comfort levels with your new peers first, and then maybe you can get into all that social media stuff. I like to keep it simple that way. I like to keep it old school. It's just know people first in real life and then get digital. I'll tell you what else is simple, though, these quick messages, and after that I'll talk about why you shouldn't hesitate to get clarity on your new role as soon as possible when you're at your new job. Number three is up next. This is 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Hey, we're back on 5 for Fortune, and we're talking about mistakes you should avoid during the first 30 days at your new job. And the pointers for today's episode come from a career coach named Jen Duwall, and she recently gave some advice on what not to do when you're the new guy or girl at an office. So before the break, it was all about social media and how you should never, ever, ever bash your old company or your ex-boss on Facebook or Twitter, because it's just an unethical thing to do and it doesn't pay paint a decent picture as far as first impressions go. And I mean, just don't do it in general. It's a weird thing to do. And then we also spoke about how you shouldn't just add every single person that you meet in the new office on Facebook within the first month, because online personas are poor representations of the real deal. Let them know you and who you are in real life first before doing the online thing. Anyway, one of the biggest mistakes is hesitating to get more clarity on your new role when you're there. Let's talk about that as number three on today's episode.
Number three.
Now, of all the pointers that Jen Duwall gives, I think this is something that everyone should remember, because I personally think it's a make or break scenario. Hesitating to get more clarity on your role is probably the biggest mistake anyone could make, because it pretty much directly links to your credibility as an employee. Now, I get it. Sometimes it's a little awkward to keep asking questions at the new place, you know. Maybe it makes you look like you don't know much. Maybe it makes you look a bit too inexperienced. But it's fine. It's totally fine, because the first 30 days are like a window in which you're the new employee who is getting adjusted to the culture and the workflow in this office. And everyone knows that. Everyone is aware that you're the newbie. Think of the first 30 days as an ask anything period at your new job. Make sure that you're getting enough clarity on things like the team dynamic, like structure, like expectations and challenges. And it's okay if you are showing vulnerability, because it creates a relationship of empathy and partnership versus one of, you know, say, competition. And also make sure that in the first meeting to ask them if it's okay for you to ask for help and what you can do to be successful. This shows your colleagues that you are genuinely a team player. Now, here's the danger of missing this window. Jen Duwall says that this learning window could close behind you before you even know it. It's your job. It is like your job beside your actual job to utilize the window to get as comfortable as possible with your new job before too much time passes. See, the issue with missing this window is that you don't want to look like a deer in headlights for too long. If you ask and get comfortable, you'll be blending in and working with the team effectively within the second month or the third month. But if you miss the window and you don't get like a firm grip on what your new job is, you'll be asking questions 6 months down the road, which isn't wrong per se, but it makes you look like the new kid for way too long, or like the junior for way too long, which could hurt your credibility as an employee that actually knows your stuff. So there's a weird dynamic to play with there. You should ask in the first month, get comfortable, and after that, try to settle in as soon as possible into that flow. Now, another thing to remember is that this is a perfect learning stage, and the keyword here being learning. Try to absorb information and understand the ups and downs, as well as the strengths and limitations of the company before giving solutions. Now, the logic here is that if you give solutions that don't apply to the actual nature of the company, it's going to look like you're talking without actually really understanding what the company is like, which, you know, it could come off as a little brash, or it could make you sound a little show-offy, and no one likes a show-off person. Contributing ideas is great, yeah, sure, but contributing ideas that don't sync with what can and cannot be done by your company isn't exactly the best way to go about things. Now, speaking of knowing the company, this ties in with our next mistake, which looks like the trickiest one so far. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about mistakes to avoid at your new workplace for the first 30 days at least, or, you know, shorter than that. And next up is a mistake called rushing to make your mark on the work culture.
Number four.
Everyone wants to make their mark on the workplace, right? No one wants to be the person who joins a new workplace and just blends into the background, right? Everyone wants to be that person who blazes a trail and makes their mark and creates an impact, and that's great. That's honestly the mindset to have when taking on a new challenge and going into a new workplace. Awesome. But there's a lot of tact that needs to go into this, because without tact, it could look like you're stepping on toes of people who have been there for a much longer time than you have, and no one likes that kind of attitude. The important thing to be mindful of is the company values and culture, and I know how that sounds. It sounds kind of lame, because, you know, maybe you think they hired you to shake things up a bit and bring in this new vibe, which is, you know, it's pretty cool, but company policies and culture are there for a reason. It's fine to want to elevate a workplace place, but first you need to know the ins and outs of that company and why it hasn't been supposedly elevated in the first place, right? Career coach Jen DeWall says that new hires should be mindful of things like dress code and the policy on times to be in and out of work, and also the rules on internet usage and music in the office. Again, those last ones sound super lame because who blocks Facebook anymore, right? But some companies still do, and if you're an employee there, it's important to understand why before going out and voicing out your opinion on how being connected keeps you in touch with the news, when we all know it's just so you can look at memes and laugh at funny videos. Now, long story short, don't try to make your mark at the expense of other people who have been there longer than you have. Contrary to popular belief, other people have as many great ideas as you do, and the best way to make progress is to ask around and understand why those ideas never happened before you came in. It's an important concept to understand, and knowing the limitations of your company is very, very important. That way, you'll understand what the company's limitations are as well, and where to move forward from there. Coming back to Jen DeWall, she also says that the best way to go about this is to always ask why. Why does the company have a dress code? Why does the company do things the way it does? And once you get to those things, it'll be easier to scope just where and how you can contribute effectively. It's all just a matter of respecting and being aware of the place that you're in. Right, we're almost at the end of our show. Just one more point to go. And hey, if you're just tuning in and you want to catch up on everything else that I spoke about today, or, you know, you just want to catch up on all of our other programs and also get notified on all our not-to-be-missed events, just download the BFM app, which you can get on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Okay. Our final mistake in this episode is something that a lot of us deal with when we are looking for a new job. If you've left your old company before landing a new job and you have those few free months in between, chances are that you booked a holiday to somewhere before this new opportunity popped up. It happens more often than you know. So you go for the interview and they ask you to start before the date of the holiday. What do you do? Like, do you tell them about it and say that you'll be away during the interview process? Would that jeopardize your chances? Or do you sacrifice the holiday? Jen DeWall helps you decide in this next segment called Putting in Vacation Time Too Soon.
Number 5.
Okay, so the best way to tackle this is to be upfront about the vacation during the interview or the negotiation process. Tell them you made plans before this gig popped up and you'll be away from this time to this time, and let them have full notice of what you're going to be doing. It's better than springing a surprise on them after you've officially started, because then it either looks like you planned a holiday just after taking up a new job, which is pretty bad, or worse, it looks like you knew about this and purposely kept information from your new employers during the interview process, which, you know, sounds kind of sneaky. So yeah, the solution to all this is to be upfront. Now, if you don't have plans and you just got into a new job, try not to plan a holiday within the next couple of months. I mean, this is just common sense at this point. Any kind of job, doesn't matter what it is, requires focus and your time. And the first month on the job is a crucial period for you to settle in and meet your new peers and workmates and get into that new flow. And if you're taking a vacation in just 2 weeks after joining, it kind of disrupts that process and doesn't exactly show you as a person who really values the job. So yeah, this one's pretty simple and straightforward. Very short. If you have a holiday planned, it's cool. Just let your employers know before you've officially started at the new job. And if you don't have anything planned, then try not to plan anything for at least a couple of months until you really settle in. And that pretty much wraps up the 5 mistakes that you should totally avoid during your first 30 days at your new job. Right, so that was it for this week's episode. Obviously, there are a bunch of other mistakes that you should avoid during your first 30 days at a new job. You could just Google them, but I felt that these 5 were the most interesting. Yeah, and do check out Jen DeWall if you need any career coaching or, you know, more tips and tricks from the workplace, just like the stuff that that you heard and that I highlighted in this episode. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 of Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.